thought this was actually quite a good topic to finish our prayer session. We've done a whole session on prayer, and we actually didn't touch on fasting. So kind of ends off the prayer, and we're starting on fasting of godly, holy habits. Did I say it right? Holy, godly, whatever. So I can imagine everyone here has their own idea about fasting and what fasting is and how you fast. And I've got a bit of a video of how I think some people view fasting. So I want to play this before we start. Please work. If not, I wonder if you fit into any of those. I hope not. But I'm just going to start off straight out by saying that I'm not standing up here because I've mastered fasting at all. Rather, it's actually one of the biggest weaknesses in my life. I do not stand here qualified to speak on fasting. But I am willing to share what I've learned and what I've been studying, and I'm hoping that I can make a part of my life much more, and I hope you do as well. So I want to start off straight away by asking the question, what is fasting? And a simple definition is that it's to voluntarily reduce or eliminate your intake of food for a specific time and purpose. Fasting was mentioned throughout the Bible. So let me start off by mentioning how fasting was done in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they fasted mainly for three reasons. The three reasons were deliverance, repentance, and mourning. When you look at fasting, that's when fasting was done. So I want to start off with one of my favorite stories in the Bible, which is the story of King Jehoshaphat. He was a big faster. And if you pick it up in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 to 4, you'll see that's the first scripture, if I wrote it right. Okay, it says this. Oh, it's a bit small, but anyway. So it says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Menuhites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazor and Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So the people of Judah declared a nationwide fast because they were surrounded by enemies. And God actually delivered them as a result. He actually said in verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God took over the battle from Jehoshaphat because he fasted and prayed. Another deliverance story in the Bible is the story of Esther. I love the story of Esther. Now, I would happily go through the whole story, but it's actually quite a long story. So read it for yourselves. But essentially, what happened is Esther was a queen in a foreign land, and she was a Jew. And no one in the palace knew that she was a Jew. And there was a man in the palace who hated the Jews, and he created this elaborate plan to destroy the whole nation. He didn't know the queen was a Jew, but he was going to destroy the whole nation. And she found out about this, and she didn't know what to do. So her uncle came to her and said, you need to go to the king. And in those days, if you went to the king and you were not called, he could actually have you killed. And she says this to her uncle Mordecai in Esther 4, verse 15 to 16. It says, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I wonder if God would have delivered the nation if they hadn't have fasted. I don't know. Another example in the Bible was fasting was done as a way of repentance. Repentance and humbling themselves before the Lord. God asked Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim that they are going to be destroyed because of their sins. And if you read the story in Jonah 3, verse 4, it says this. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Verse 7, this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the kings and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. It's quite amazing that a whole nation was willing to fast, to ask God to forgive them and humble themselves. Remember I said as well that the third reason people fasted was for mourning. And the perfect example of this in the Old Testament was Daniel. Daniel was mourning for 3 weeks. He was exiled to a foreign land, and he was crying out to God. And Daniel said this in Daniel 20, verse 2. It says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Now you're like, well, that's cool. That was the Old Testament. What about now? You know, what about the New Testament? Do people fast in the New Testament? The answer is yes. Yes, they did. And one of my favorite people in the New Testament was Anna, the prophetess. Look how the Bible describes her. It says this. It says, there was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. That was her life. And she got to see Jesus before she died. What a great testimony. Jesus himself fasted 40 days and 40 nights as well. And he actually expected his disciples to fast because he said this in Matthew 9, verse 14 and 15. He said, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, referring to Jesus, then they will fast. He even said in Matthew 6, verse 16, he said, when you fast, not if you fast, he said, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, again, when, not if, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What about when Jesus left the earth? Did the disciples fast? Again, the answer is yes. In Acts 13, verse 2 and 3, and I know I'm going through a lot of scripture, but I really want to make it, I don't want to give my own opinion. I want to show you what the word says. In Acts 13, verse 2 to 3, it says, while, they're referring to the disciples. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. What's quite interesting is that the early church fasted as well. So once the apostles had all died, it's actually proven that I actually looked into this. And what they actually used to do, they used to fast twice a week, usually, until sundown. That's how the early church used to fast. And even it's even believed that John Wesley found fasting so important that he would not ordain anyone who did not fast twice, 2 days a week. I guess none of us would have been ordained. So we've determined that the Bible is clear, that we are expected to fast. But why? Like, what's the point of giving up my Mackeys and KFC, you know, my 10 Easter eggs every day? I mean, like, from a show of hands here, who actually has fasted and found it helpful? Anyone? One, two, seven, four, at least four people. Well, what's quite interesting that we forget is that we are actually spirit beings who live in a body, and we have a soul. And our soul usually goes with whatever's strongest in our lives. So if our flesh is quite strong, our soul usually kind of goes with the flesh. If our spirit's quite strong, our soul kind of goes with the spirit. What I mean by that is in the morning, when you wake up, it's usually your flesh and your soul that says, I'm way too tired to pray. If our spirits are strong, usually it's like, yes, I'm awake, let's go pray. I'm sure you're all like that all the time. You see, our reactions to situations are usually determined by whether or not we are feeding our spirits or we are feeding our flesh. In our world, in the UK especially, it is actually very difficult to fast because we have an abundance of food available to us at all times. The majority of us, obviously there is some poverty, but majority of us could have any food we wanted right now and we could probably get it delivered from anywhere. It's everywhere we go. It's at our workplaces, in our cars, in our pockets, in our handbags, cafe shops, everything around us is food, food, food. And I actually found this clip, which I thought was actually shows where we're at the moment in the UK. Let's see if you can see it. So let me just go back to our original question. Why do we fast? What's the point? Well, the number one reason to fast above all is that it's a way of drawing closer to God and a way of fine-tuning our spirits to hear from God. You know, Jesus fasted before he started his ministry. The disciples fasted to hear from God. Anna fasted as just part of her life. But there was also a man called Cornelius, who we don't really talk about, but he was a non-Jewish Roman centurion who actually used to fast as well. In Acts 10, verse 30, it says, "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God." He was a man who fasted and he actually met Jesus as a result. He got salvation to his house. Now, when I grew up, I was actually taught to fast from probably about the age 12 and it became part of my life. But I always thought fasting was a way to impress God, to be like, I'm suffering for you, Lord. Please answer my prayers. But more than anything, I've learned that actually what it does is it changes my heart to be in tune with his heart. And that's why he answers your prayer. My second reason for fasting is that it has a way of starving the flesh and feeding the spirit. It brings our bodies into subjection. The more you feed the flesh, the stronger it gets. When you starve it, it weakens. The less limits we have on our appetites, the less limits we tend to have on other bodily appetites as well, such as like shopping, gossip, violence, sex, things like that. And one of the first things you notice when fasting is that your desire for sin reduces and your desire for God increases. You start desiring prayer and reading the word. For example, this week I was like, I better fast. If I'm going to be preaching on fasting, I better fast. So on Tuesday, I was like, that's it. I'm going to do a fast. I only survived till 5 p.m. But anyway, we won't mention that. But what's quite interesting is that throughout the day, because I wasn't eating at all, I actually was praying more. I don't know why, but automatically I was like, Lord, I love you so much. Lord, I'm so, and at work I was listening to worship, and it was great until I ate at 5 o'clock. But anyway, it's amazing what actually happens when you starve your flesh. It's like your spirit becomes enlightened. Romans 13, verse 14 says this, "But put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Romans 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." The third thing fasting does is it actually amplifies your prayers and grows holiness in your life. You see, fasting is not necessarily just a way of starving yourself, but more predominantly praying. You see, we're prepared to take time out to watch films, go on holiday, sporting events, spend time with our families. But do we take time out to earnestly pray and seek God? Prayer and fasting go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other, else you're just dieting. John Wesley said, "The man who never fasts is no more in the way to heaven than the man who never prays." The fourth reason for fasting is that it's actually a way of humbling ourselves before the Lord. In the Bible times, kings would fast in humility and repentance. Remember Nineveh? They were willing to humble themselves before the Lord and ask his forgiveness. And if there's an area in your life where you are struggling with sin or addiction, I encourage you to humble yourself and fast. You see, fasting is not the way of saying, "Okay, Lord, well, now I'm fasting, so you must answer my prayers." It's a way of saying to the Lord, "I need you above everything else. I need you above food. I need you above my fleshly desires, and I need you to step into this situation." That's what fasting does. So how do we fast is the question. Well, what I love is that Jesus actually did not give us a specific date or time or length to fast. He did not actually give us that. So you're not going to go to hell if you don't do Lent. Just saying. But so fasting is a way that you actually need to decide between you and the Lord how long you fast for. And I would encourage you not to start with a 40-day fast. Definitely not. Some people only fast till sundown. Some people do a fast where they literally eat vegetables for 3 weeks. I'm not going to stand up here and say that you must do this kind of fast because it's not for me to say. It's completely between you and the Lord. And for example, there's a lady that I know, and she said that she desperately wanted to fast, but she had just overcome cancer, and she was really quite thin, and she already ate perfectly. I mean, she wasn't like me that had Mackey's every week, and, you know, she wasn't like that. But she desperately wanted to fast, so she went before the Lord and said, "What can I do?" And she ended up for 3 weeks giving up herbal tea because that was her absolute joy in life, and she sought the Lord with everything because she could not give up food medically. She just could not do it. And also, if we do make fasting legalistic, it does not please the Lord. He even put this parable in the Bible in Luke 18. This is Jesus speaking. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Verse 13, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So the first thing I said, number one, fasting is between you and the Lord, and you need to decide with the Lord what you feel is right and what he's encouraging you to fast. And that does, by the way, that does not include social media. The Lord does not mention social media in the Bible. He always mentioned food. And most of us make an excuse like, "Lord, I'm giving up TV for 6 weeks. I'm fasting." The Lord's like, "Meh, meh, no, you're not." Second thing is that fasting, unless it is done corporately in the church, and I do actually believe that corporate fasting is very important. I do believe as a church, we should be fasting together for national issues, for maybe guidance, things like that. So I'm going to throw that out there, that there is. And actually what's quite interesting is it said, I had a bit of a read this week, that during the Battle of Dunkirk, the likes of C.S. Lewis actually did a fast for a day because it was a national day of prayer called, and the whole nation prayed. So I'm just going to say it does happen, but personal fasting is not for people to see. It is very between you and the Lord, because the Lord makes this very clear. In Matthew 6:16, again, I've read this one, but I'll read it again. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The third thing, fasting is for a specific spiritual purpose and reason. It can be for ourselves, but actually it can be for other people as well. For our nation, for the oppressed, the poor, the needy. Recently, one of my friends called me and said to me that they were going through a really tough mental time, and they were having a really tough time in their lives and with their relationships. And when I spoke to him, I actually had this sense of absolute sadness rise up in me for, and I'm not very good at interceding for people. And I just burst out crying after I'd spoken to this person on the phone. And this person's got 5 kids as well. So he was going through a really tough time. And I actually fell on my face before the Lord and felt such a burden of prayer come on me. And almost like, are you willing to stand in the gap for this person, this friend of yours? And that's what fasting can do as well, is that we can stand in the gap for other people as well. Because what happens is that the Lord, when we fast, he becomes the priority of our feelings, our habits, our thoughts, and our behaviors as well. It's a way of us also looking outward at the suffering of those around us. Now, you need to decide between you and the Lord whether or not you think fasting is what you need to put into your life. And I want you to look at the list you've written down, the things that you are struggling with on your paper, if you have. And I'm wondering if there's a few things on there that you can maybe fast and pray about. And it's not like you are twisting the Lord's arm to saying, I'm fasting now, so you must now answer my prayer. But it's more saying, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you, and I'm staying in the gap for these things because I actually cannot do anything more. If you look at the people in the Bible who fasted, they were people who were at the end of themselves. The only other time it wasn't was Anna just had fasting as part of her life. Cornelius had fasting as part of his life. And the disciples always fasted for guidance. It says that they would be fasting and the Holy Spirit said. So if you need guidance in your life, why not try fasting and praying? And it doesn't have to be this elaborate 40-day fast. Sometimes maybe it's just 24 hours. Maybe it's just, I'm only going to eat vegetables for 3 weeks because I'm working, so I can't give up food for that long. It's up to you. I'm not going to stand up here and say, this is what you must do. But I am going to encourage you to make this part of your life. So I'm going to ask Liz, who's actually going to share when she's fasted and how the Lord answered her fasting prayer. Can I have a mic, if that's okay? Thanks.
This was a repentance prayer, and it was when I was at uni, and in third year of lectures, we had one on teaching RE, and they talked about the college motto, and it turned out that the college motto was from John chapter 10, to live life to the full, live life to the full. And I, at that point, was really just felt convicted by the Holy Spirit. I was like, oh, we are so far from that. We were part of the Uni of Leeds, and the Uni of Leeds had a pagan chaplain, White Witch is a pagan chaplain, who had visited our college, and that's a whole other story. I just felt convicted to pray for repentance, and so I fasted for 3 days in repentance of being so far from the college motto. And on the third day, I walked to college, and our college is pretty... It is pretty. It's still there. It's not a college anymore. It's very pretty and has got a lot of grass in front of it. And as I walked there and turned on the corner, God said, look. And it had snowed. The whole college was covered in snow and a blanket of white. And God just said to me, look. And I was just like, whoa. That he answered me by covering the college in a blanket and forgiving us. So it was, yeah. There you go.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks. So I was going to ask, was there anyone else who has a testimony of when fasting has actually helped? It's fine if you don't. But Liz caught me before. Was there anyone else who has had an opportunity where the Lord has come through? If you haven't, I encourage you. Oh, there we go. We've got one.
This was at a previous church in Coventry years ago. And there was a young lady who was very, very ill in hospital. And she'd had surgery. She had some kind of weird tumour, and so the whole church prayed and fasted for her. And just prior to that, I'd been to visit her in the hospital, and the minister walked in at the same time. And I saw this young lady. She was called Debbie, and she was so close to death. I mean, she was what I would call moribund. You know, her eyes were glazed over, and her mouth was open and dry, and I just thought, oh, she's just going. But the minister and his wife, they seemed to have faith that she would actually recover from this. And I just thought, no, I don't think so. But the church fasted and prayed. And she just, you know, a few days later, she was sitting up in bed. And what more can I say?
I know. You're, thank you. Praise the Lord. So, again, I'm going to encourage you to maybe make this part of your habits, part of your life. So I'm going to invite the band up, who are going to lead us in some more worship. As they're doing that, I've given you, at the bottom of your papers, I've written Isaiah 53, and I'm sorry, Isaiah 58, and it's a whole chapter about how God expects us to fast. So I only want to read the first five verses of it. And then I encourage you to read the rest at home because it's actually quite interesting. It says in Isaiah 58, verse 1, sorry, it's a bit small, but it says, shout it out aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager to come for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you've not seen? Why have we humbled ourselves and you've not noticed? Verse 3, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? It's not the kind of fasting I have chosen. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you during worship to just think about areas in your life that you can fast about and just give to the Lord. So Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you encourage us to fast. And I pray, Lord, that as a congregation and as individuals, we will be people who humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. Lord, we pray that we would become people who are hungry for you, hungry for holiness, hungry to be closer to you and to hear your voice. I pray that fasting would not just be something we talk about, but something we do, because you require it from us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would remind us of your scripture and remind us to fast when we forget. And Lord, come and meet with us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.